see here. Oh, it looks like it's recording. I put it in this there. It's December 20th, 2009, a cold day. I'm talking to Jules Heumann. That's just my... Is that how I pronounce your last name, Jules?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and you refer... I read a little bit about you. Do you prefer Jay or Jules, or how to... What's the best way in which I should say hello?
I don't know, whatever comes into your mind.
What, my choice, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was looking through the article. It didn't... Was there only the one article on the car that you built?
Yes.
It didn't say a month in there, but if I were to go back and find that magazine, I think that was like an annual magazine, wasn't it, from Trend?
Yes, it was an annual. I forget who the hell did that.
Oh, I think I probably have it. I have to go back and look upstairs in my collection, but it said Custom Cars, I think, and it went through. And it was published in 58, but it looks like you started it some years before. Do you remember what year you started the project?
Yes, I started the project in 1952.
And so 3,000 hours. When did you finish it? What year?
55.
Okay. Did you work on it with anyone else, other folks, in terms of the restoration or completion of the chassis or the body or any of that?
No, I did the whole thing myself.
Wow.
Hell, I did it and earned a living at the same time. I'd never know.
Well, you mentioned the two young girls. Are those your children?
Two young
or
girls.
Mm-hmm. I'm
two
sorry?
Girls. I had two girls.
Oh, okay. Those are your children in the picture. And the person in the car behind the seat, that must be you?
No, that was my brother.
Oh, which pictures, do I have any pictures of you with your car?
No.
So I have to find your car now in order to put you and your car together.
I don't think you'll find any pictures of me at that age.
How old were you in 50, you said you started in 52?
Yeah, how old was I? I was born in 24, so you figure it out.
28 years old. It's about the right age and the right skill. Were you in the service during World War II, or was that a little...
Yes, I was in the service.
Okay. A lot of the folks who built these came out with skills, a ton of skills.
No, I didn't learn anything in the service with respect to a skill for this.
Mm-hmm.
On the chassis, the mechanical portion of it, I've just always been mechanically inclined, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Now,
on the body, it was really new territory at the time for anyone.
And you were up in the Bay Area at that time?
In San Francisco.
Okay. There were only, most of the fiberglass in the early 50s, not all, but most of it was happening down in Los Angeles.
Cool.
There were two or three guys, and I was going to mention their names, but let me see, did you work with anyone?
I wouldn't have any idea who they were.
Three guys and some of them folks you would have known too. Sterling Edwards did one of the first fiberglass cars out of the Bay Area. His father, I guess, had that wire shop.
That's true, but Sterling Edwards didn't do them himself.
Phil Remington,
he had a crew.
Right? Phil Remington and Chuck Tatum did, and those are the two that actually banged out the bodies.
I didn't know those people.
And another gentleman out of Berkeley was the guy named Jim Webb, who did a car called the Savage, but that was more...
No.
That was later. It would have been at the very best in 55, 56.
Had no connection.
The third one, which had designed a car very similar to yours and raced one as well, very similar, was a guy named Vale Wright. And his car was taken off a New Velari 202 open car.
Do you have pictures of his car?
Yeah, it's on our website, actually. I did a story about it a few weeks before I started talking
does
to you.
Does it have rudimentary tail fin?
Yes, it does.
Okay, in some fashion, I don't know how it happened, I borrowed his mold to make my car.
Really?
But I did not like the tail fins.
Mm-hmm.
So I used the front half of the mold all the way back to where the wheel arch opening was for the rear wheels.
Right.
Then, once I got that out, I sectioned it and then married it together so that I'd have a slope to it. Then I used it again and took two more splashes. One was for the rear end itself.
Mm-hmm.
And another was just the sections from the top of the fender crown down to where it would curve into the body. And then I glued the whole thing together.
So you started with his mold, made a car, and then took the portions off again, the front portion, and modified that. Because I see some of I resent you photos back to you today. Some of the smaller photos I blew up and separated off of that large page to make them easier to see. Those were the ones where you had the body and chassis. So you were creating the mold. Did you fully create a set of molds for yourself then, or just modify?
No, okay. Maybe I didn't make it clear. I used his mold.
No. Right, I understood that. I just was curious if you had to create a mold for that front port or the rear portion. But you were modifying what came out of those molds then.
Yeah, I used the front end for the rear end.
Gotcha. So you had
that's
some.
That's why it has that heavy look behind the rear wheel.
Interesting. I'm assuming your car was all hand laid fiberglass because they didn't really have
it. Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah. I was surprised that the car, because when we first talked, you said it was done in the early to mid 50s, and I was surprised that the custom car article occurred in 1958. That was enormous amount of years.
I can't explain that because I had already. That was the year that I sold the car.
Okay.
I traded it actually.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't seen the car since at all?
No, I have no idea where it is.
Well, we found some. I'm going to create a lost cars page, and we're going to put your car at the very top after we do the story to see what we find.
That would be fascinating.
Well, I think it'll be. I'm going to try to put the story out tomorrow, and then it's a matter of trickling it out to the different places that that pick up unusual looking cars and lost cars and so forth. When you were building it, had you considered any other fiberglass bodies? Because what you did was took a lot of work.
No, there was nothing available.
Well, you could have, and just to be devil's advocate, you could have popped out one of those bodies from Vail Wright without any modification. So you must have wanted to modify it for some reason.
Yeah, I told you I didn't like the tail fins.
And then there were other ones like Bill Tritt and other folks in Los Angeles who were doing the glass power and Victor's.
I had no idea who he was. And even if I did, I wanted to do it myself.
Gotcha. Had you built a car at all before then, either sport custom
never.
Wow. And you guys were very gutsy back then, all these folks I've been talking with.
Yeah, and on all the mechanical stuff that I did, I had no training at all, no experience at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was so naive. My brother and I used to have drag races up and down one of our main streets here. And he had an old 88. That was it in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I could stay ahead of him up till about 50, 55. And then I just ran out of RPMs because the rear end gears were just far too low.
The Singer, did you end up shortening the wheelbase or doing any major modification on the chassis?
I did a lot to the chassis. You want to have that information, too?
Absolutely. Now, a lot of the people I read this or ask, they're very, very interested in the modifications. And typically,
okay, here's what I did.
Typically, they use a 40s Ford, so yours is a very interesting car.
Here's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I couldn't afford anything. I really didn't have any money at all. So I was able to buy a wrecked Singer SM1500 from an insurance company for $250.
Okay.
In which some poor devil had killed himself. It was got 1,500 miles on it. I decided, a new one I bought it, the car was uglier than sin. I just hated the body. But the engine itself had a lot of potential and the chassis and all that. So I stripped and dumped the body. The only thing I used from the car itself was the steering wheel, I mean, from the body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I don't think I used anything from the body. Okay, on the chassis, I decided the engine was too far forward. So I modified the chassis with a big cross brace that enabled me to move the engine and transmission back exactly a foot and drop it 2 3/4 inches. I remember a lot of this because I still have the chassis drawing that I did.
Really?
Yeah. And then, it's too big to scan. I would do it for you.
Can you take a photograph of that? Lay it flat, Jules, because a lot of times I do work with blueprints and some of these old cars.
Yeah, I think you'd be better served if I took it to one of the copy places and had them make a black and white out of it.
I would be to Kinko's, which is FedEx office now, does something like that.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
I'd be happy to reimburse you and...
No big deal.
It's not a lot of money, but it's time
no
and effort.
Deal. No big deal. Okay, so what else did I do? I did a lot more. The rear springs were under the chassis, and I decided I didn't like that, so I moved them, made the mounts, and moved them outboard. So I had to make the mounts, I had nothing, and I did my very, very first welding on them. And I hear you typing as well.
I'm putting some of the stuff down here.
I thought you were recording it.
I am recording, but I'm also making a note right now about the chassis drawing coming my way.
Okay. And then, what else did I do? I decided I needed more fuel going through the engine, so I modified the intake manifold, which was originally a single downdraft Solex,
mm-hmm.
or SU, I forget it, it doesn't make any difference. And I made an intake manifold, again, more welding, that would accept 2 3/4 inch SUs. Same size as the Jaguar, and here's an engine that displaced less than half as much.
How interesting.
Then I made the bunch of bananas type exhaust manifold, which was probably the most difficult thing for me in the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
A lot of people modify the wheelbase, actually, in terms of the chassis. Did you change
no,
the...
No, it was already a short wheelbase car. I didn't want to touch it.
Gotcha.
And I don't think I would have tackled doing the frame. Incidentally, the overhead camshaft, the 1500cc car,
mm-hmm.
and the overhead cam was driven by chain in a separate compartment forward of the working part of the block.
Hmm.
That, in the accident, got cracked up the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that it had absolutely no structural value whatsoever, and I just left it alone. Everything else was fine.
Interesting. Were you set on using that power plant drivetrain from the start?
Yes. I didn't want a big power plant because I knew I'd kill myself.
Okay. Because some of the cars, and right in that same time frame, 52 to 54, they went backwards and went and got a Ford V8 60, you know, the small little flatheads.
Yeah, they all did things like that. Apropos V8 60, a friend of mine who was a brilliant engineer, he's like 93 now,
mm-hmm.
Holds all the patents for cherry pickers. He invented it. And he's been a car nut.
Hmm.
He made a car the same time I did,
mm-hmm.
but as a matter of fact, he started his before World War One, two rather. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, and his is very advanced. It just got finished about a year ago, believe it or not, by him.
Really?
But he had an aluminum body made. It's just beautiful. It's a mid-engine V8 85 with all sorts of interesting engineering on it. It has independent rear suspension, all from parts that were available then.
How interesting.
It's a fantastic automobile, but it has nothing to do with fiberglass, which is why you're doing your article.
Well, I'm working on two different types of cars. The story of fiberglass took me for about a year and a half, 2 years of research until I really needed to ask the question, where did American sports cars come from? And then what I did was go off for another year and a half or two, focusing only on sport customs, working with, in fact, Ken Gross and I were on the phone last week about it. I went through Strother McMinn's photo collection. I drove from Florida all the way to Washington State to see that.
How did you get access to his photos?
Bob Ames and Dale LaFollette gave me access. I tracked them down, who I guess they bought them in Monterey, or Bob Ames did, and spent the day with Dale LaFollette going through all the photos and identifying the sport customs and custom cars. And all of this research in the sport customs has led to another research project alongside...
I didn't know Mac then, or there'd be pictures of mine in there. I didn't meet Mac until 58.
Mm-hmm. I would have enjoyed meeting him. I
was close to him almost from 1958. Whenever he came to the city, he came with me.
Well, in his eulogy in the Road and Track, they talked about it was a shame he never designed a car, which was, I thought, very...
Well, he designed a lot of cars.
I know. I know. You're preaching to the choir here. And one of them I have. So I was up four weeks.
Have one he did?
Yeah, the Le Mans Coupe, probably the most famous one. And that was one that I found in a junkyard in Iowa. So when you said that your friend, I'm not interested in anything that unless it's fiberglass, that's in order to tell the story about the fiberglass sports cars, Jules, I needed to understand where sports cars came from post-World War II. In fact, I also had another project that resulted in finding the first sports car built in America after World War II, Curtis Omohundro, but that's a different story.
Is there
story.
Anything else you want to know about this car?
Well, you wanted to mention, you mentioned your friend, and what is his car? What is he calling it? And then what did you call your car?
I called it a Singer.
Oh, you didn't change the name?
No.
A lot of folks use their own name, the human, Jules, and different kind of special or different names. You didn't have any name for it at all?
Never did.
Okay. Let's see. Let me pull up information. I'm going to pull up this table because there's a set of questions and people keep asking. Give me one second here.
I think my car was the first one, at least that I had ever seen to that date, where the exhaust came out the side ahead of the rear wheel.
Hmm.
And the reason why was that I couldn't figure out how the hell to run it. Something else is calling.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
I couldn't figure out how to run it properly and get it out the rear end.
I'm just copying this table over here so we can go through the body. So you really custom made by yourself in the way that you described. Paint, did you do the paintwork yourself as well? Or
no, I had it painted.
Anyone special or anyone, remember the person who did it?
I saw a company in, where the hell were they? San Carlos, I don't even know their name. Or if they still exist.
I see. And Carlos, okay. Upholstery, did you do it yourself or?
Yes.
All right. Frame, we talked about the modifications you made. Suspension was the same Singer, which I'll go back. Singer.
Suspension remained as was.
Okay. Engine, you said was 15. Displacement was 1,500 cc's?
Yes.
And did you tell me the year of the Singer that you picked up or not?
52.
Okay. All right, horsepower. I wonder if you remember that. You remember what horsepower was on it?
No, I don't.
I can easily look that up.
It's the SM-1500.
Transmission, 3-speed, 4-speed, synchromesh, do you remember?
Don't remember.
And anything about the rear axle that you did? Special in terms of gearing or just used stock?
Stock.
Singer, wheelbase. My guess would be that I know it wouldn't be 99 inches.
Look it up. I don't know.
Yeah, Singer. And I'll look it up on the track. Did you ever have the car weighed? In terms of, because it would have been smaller. It would have been a little less. It would have been a little less than a typical one at that time. Distribution, top speed. Did you ever take it any shows?
No.
No shows. That's interesting. Because by then, well, Peterson, well, they were down in Los Angeles. Did you ever take it out of San Francisco?
No.
Let's see. Color.
Dark blue. It was a Cadillac color.
Sounds like a royal blue. Upholstery color.
Light blue.
Any two-tone paint or two-tone upholstery, anything kind of fancy like that?
No.
Special wheels. A lot of people are using Brawnies and other kinds of...
No.
All right. Okay, let me look at this up here. Let me bring up the pictures. Well, I'm taking a moment here. I'm going to bring up the pictures again in the directory. It's cold out here. 52 degrees, which for Florida is pretty darn near winter.
It's normal for here.
And you're a hardened person compared to the wimpy Florida people like myself. All right, Jimmy, come on. Okay. There we go. Some of the pictures you sent are just gorgeous. Who did you? It looks like the main ones you sent, the 8x10s, were professionally done.
I took them.
Well, you were a professional photographer back then. Those are beautiful.
No. Whenever I do anything, I try to do it to the best of my ability.
Well, it's a very small statement. Most people can't take a picture. And I've been looking at pictures.
Most people can't upholster either.
It's very true. Front grille is different than the Veil Ride. You must have made some modifications on
homemade.
Yeah, homemade front grille. And anything special about the gauges you chose? Were they from the Singer themselves? Or?
From the Singer.
Okay.
Except I put... No, they were Singer.
Singer, okay. All right.
I had nowhere to put the tack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's up on that little bubble.
Looks like you used 1940 Chevrolet, hood hinges, trunk hinges. Remember the trunk hinges?
I don't remember what they were.
Yeah, I'm just going through a project right now. Nicely
sure
done.
I got them from a wrecking yard.
Yeah. They, in the 30s and up to about 40, there are quite a few different styles. How did you choose the grill opening? Because you would have modified.
I just made it.
No, the grill is one thing. The opening is a different.
I made it.
Okay.
I carved it to the shape I wanted.
Okay. Interesting little scoop on the hood. And I allowed. Was it just for air, or was it a clearance issue also? Do you remember?
Oh, it was for the look.
It's kind of cool. All right, did you do doors here? Let's see here. Oops.
No doors.
No doors. A lot of people didn't. Taillights look like 1949-50 Pontiac, but I could be completely wrong.
I forget what they were from, but they were not original, that's for sure.
Right. I'm going to try to get a close-up on this. The dashboard unit is beautiful. It looks like it's out of wood as well.
It's something that I made.
And a nice little, looks like you did maybe translucent plexiglass over the tack. Something to both highlight it. It's hard for me to tell from just this one. Maybe not. Okay.
What's over the tack?
Maybe a housing.
Housing.
Yeah, maybe a housing. Okay.
No, I told you I had... I bought an old headlight and used its shell as a mold.
Very ingenious. How about your windshield, Jules? What did you... People had difficulty.
It was a plastic windshield that was a boat windshield.
Okay. That was, sometimes people did that more in the later 50s. All right. I'm just going through these pictures again. You wouldn't have any color pictures of the car, would you?
I don't know.
Okay, now I can see the side much better. Handle, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, you changed the shape of the grill. I can see that now that I know it's the veil, right? Okay. I don't know what the wheels look like, so I'm assuming those are steel wheels from a Singer.
Right.
Trunk. It looks like you didn't make doors, but you made a trunk and a hood. Is that true? I know the hood, of course, but...
Yeah, and they were all just the pieces that I cut out of the body.
Right, and that was very typical back then.
Yeah, and the rear opening was nothing more than behind that could carry the spare wheel.
Gotcha. Well, it's better than some of them. I found a car that you opened the trunk and you got to see the ground. Looking at the chassis, nicely done. And so this is your brother testing out the engine and chassis, not yourself.
He was just sitting there.
I gotcha. You're the photographer.
Yep.
Okay, come on. Here we go. Okay, the trunk isn't what I thought, because I was looking at a side view. The trunk is a panel that looks like it flips up and from the back. It looks like you slide the spare out.
Correct.
All right. There we go. No emblem. Some people did emblems, even if it was...
No emblem.
Almost no chrome on any of these cars, too. You chose a side mirror. I don't know if that's Singer or not, or if you remember, if you're a side mirror or your rear view mirror.
I don't think it was Singer, and I don't know where it was from.
Did you get the performance? You kept it for 3 years, about
never
3 years.
Did.
I'm sorry?
Never did.
You didn't like the performance of the car?
I thought you said, did I get the performance? I thought you meant data. No. Did I like it?
Yes.
Handling of it? You
yeah.
Know.
Wonder how it would have handled, because you're taking a bunch of weight off a Singer chassis, and I wonder how it would have handled. A lot of the cars, when you took the body weight off, you know, they would modify the springs. The best ones, they'd modify the springs because it would be less weight to carry now with a fiberglass body. So often that wasn't done, and so they were very, very stiff. But the cars back then were very...
The car was not stiff.
Okay.
It was comfortable. Firm, comfortable, though. Christ, a Miata today rides a hell of a lot harder.
Yeah, well, I remember just driving around an old Corvette from the 50s for a while, and that drove like a truck anyway. I think that's about it. I was looking through some of the other things that I've talked with other folks.
If you will email me your address,
okay,
I will send you a copy of that thing.
Of the.
I don't know whether I still have your website or not, so you better write down what that is, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as I finish this story, and then if I miss anything, once you read it, I can go back and correct it on the fly, too. But it's what I'm going to try to do is we have a few lost cars we're looking for, and it's always fun. I mean, it's 50 years later. Last time you said you saw it was in 58, and you traded it in on a car? Is that what you did?
No, I sold the car.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how much I got for it. And I turned around and bought a Jaguar Mark IV drop head, a 48.
Gotcha. That's a pretty car, too.
Traded up from then on.
Do you have a couple minutes to ask a couple other questions about a different car? Your buddy's car? The one he started before World War II?
Which car?
You mentioned you had a friend.
Oh, the buddy, yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to show that car now, or how's that?
I don't know. If you remind me in the email, I'll send you his name, etc. You can contact him yourself.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that.
His name is Jay Eitel, E-I-T-E-L.
E-I-T-E-L.
Yeah. His brother. Do you remember, you're not old enough, but during World War II, there was a company called IMAC.
Mm-hmm.
E-I-M-A-C.
Mm-hmm.
It stood for Eitel McCullough. They were the people who were awarded the radar contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Highly secret. Jay put up their entire factory and staffed it and equipped it with machinery during World War II in 6 months. Incredible.
Wow.
He's a fascinating man. He's a talker. But you'll learn a great deal from him. Highly skilled engineer. Brilliant, brilliant man. He's a good friend. He's getting on, though. Anyway, I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you about the car. If I know him, he's got everything documented, but it's not fiberglass.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the story of fiberglass starts with Sport Customs after World War II. That's what piqued my interest on your friend.
Well, he began this car before World War II.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, what else do you have?
Last, just a couple of the questions about your car. You sent in pictures, it appeared in them, what I think was a trend book, the Custom Cars book, which would have been Trend. So did you have any folks that you knew in Motor Trend or Road and Track? Did you know John Bond, any of the things that...
No, I had no idea who... I knew who John Bond was because I subscribed to Road and Track, but that's about it.
Right, and so yours were published by Peterson, actually.
I have no idea.
I wonder if you remember, did they ever contact you to put in a show or for the... You had another show there, the Oakland Roadster show.
No, they never did that.
And then the big show where you would have lived would have been the Oakland, what I call the Oakland Roadster Show. I think it's called the Grand National or something back then. But did they ever contact you to put your car in the show?
No. Nobody knew about the car.
Interesting. No shows. It was kind of a hidden treasure.
Well, hidden anyway.
Yeah. No, it's very pretty. You did a beautiful job on it.
I did drive it. I drove it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drive to work. I lived in San Francisco, and my work was in South San Francisco, which is an industrial suburb. And rain or shine, I would drive the car, because in the rain, the way I went, there was freeway, and I never had to stop. So and in those days, you didn't get freeway backups.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you kept driving, you stayed dry. So one day I had a stoplight off the freeway, and it's raining, and a cop and a bike pulls up alongside, and we look at each other, and we see where each of us is soaking wet, and we start to laugh. A couple of other humorous incidents with the car, though. I was a smoker at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I lit my cigarette was to reach out of the car with a kitchen match and strike it on the ground.
Oh, how funny.
But the funniest adventure of all came one day when I was driving up Alameda Street, which is in a commercial industrial portion of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm well into this street when I see there's a semi that with the back perpendicularly into a shipping dock, and there's no way to get around it. And I look at it, and I figure, God, I just wonder. So I drove up to it slowly and figured, I can do this. And I drove under it, the thing.
Oh, how funny.
Came out the other side and looked back on my left, and there was the shipping clerk or somebody standing there with his mouth dropped open.
How funny. Oh, these are great little stories. It'd be really fun to find the car and see where it's been for so long.
Yeah, I'd love to find it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of folks in San Francisco that I've got one in Alameda I spent a couple weeks with this summer.
Yeah, I didn't know of the others. Hey, send me the email with all that dope in it, and
okay.
I'll be happy to comply.
Great. Great, okay. And I'll send you a link to the website when the story's up.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Jules.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.